We're actually about a minute early, but I think we'll just go ahead and start now. Why not? Mom's not here tonight. She's on the road. She went to visit Danny, Tim's brother, in the hospital. I guess he's not doing real well, and they're not sure how much longer he's going to live. So that's where Mom is at right now, and as such, we will be singing without music tonight, but that's all right. We've done it before, and we've always survived, so praise the Lord for that. And we're going to just sing and worship the Lord for a while, and then we'll get started in the Word and have a nice Bible study, hopefully, Lord willing. But praise the Lord, before we do anything, we're going to go ahead and pray. I'm going to do that right now. Father in heaven, I thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast brought us here this night. I praise Thee, O God, for all that Thou hast done for us. And I ask, Lord, that Thou continue to lead and guide and direct us in all things. I pray that Thy perfect will would be done. I pray that Thy Spirit would be here. Let Thy Holy Ghost be upon each and every one of us. Inspire us this night, I pray. Though we may be few in number, we know that Thy presence can fill this entire building. And I ask, O God, that Thou would be with us. Help us, lead us, direct us in all things. Let everything be done according to Thy perfect plan. And I ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you can find your chorus book, we're going to start with number 13 tonight. Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Number 13 in the chorus book. Have Thine Own Way, Lord, have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in Thy presence humbly I bow. Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is Thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with Thy Spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. yielded and still. Praise the Lord. And we do need Him to have His own way in our lives. He's the only one who can mold us and shape us and make something beautiful out of our lives. Praise the Lord. Why don't we look across the page and sing number 9, "The Spirit of the Lord Shall Come." Number 9. It shall flow like a river. It shall fall like the rain. It shall flow from the mountains to the valleys or the plains. For the knowledge of the Lord shall fill all the earth, and the Spirit of the Lord shall come. Flow, river, flow. Flow, river, flow. Flow from the mountains to the valley far below. For the knowledge of the Lord shall fill all the earth, and the Spirit of the Lord shall come. It shall flow like a river. It shall fall like the rain. It shall flow from the mountains to the valleys or the plains. For the knowledge of the Lord shall fill all the earth, and the Spirit of the Lord shall come. Flow, river, flow. Flow, river, flow. Flow from the mountains to the valley far below. For the knowledge of the Lord shall fill all the earth, and the Spirit of the Lord shall come. It shall flow like a river. It shall fall like the rain. It shall flow from the mountains to the valleys or the plains. For the knowledge of the Lord shall fill all the earth, and the Spirit of the Lord shall come. Flow, river, flow. Flow, river, flow. Flow from the mountains to the valley far below. For the knowledge of the Lord shall fill all the earth, and the Spirit of the Lord shall come. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, we praise the Lord for His promises and for His Spirit, which we so desperately need. Glory to God. Why don't we go to number 4? Number 4 in the chorus book and sing, "There is a River." Number 4. There came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled their hearts with singing, and gave them peace within. The prophet gave this promise, the Spirit will descend, and from your inner being, a river with no end. There is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. Come to this water. There is a vast supply. For there is a river that never shall run dry. There was a thirsty woman who was drawing from a well. Her life was ruined and wasted. Her soul was bound for hell. Then she met the Master, who told of her great sin. And if you drink this water, you'll never thirst again. There is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that's filled with His great love. Come to this water. There is a vast supply. For there is a river that never shall run dry. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Oh yes, there is a river. Praise the Lord. Why don't we go now to number 34 and sing, How Great is Our God, How Great is His Name. How great is our God, how great is His name. He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I'll go with you, just put your trust in me. How great is our God, how great is His name. He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I'll go with you, just put your trust in me. How great is our God, how great is His name. He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, And he said, I'll go with you. Just put your trust in me. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's wonderful to have a God we can trust. A God without limitations. A God who is never stuck. Praise the Lord. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Father in heaven, we thank you this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank you, O God, for all that thou hast done for us, for thy mercy towards us, for thy sustaining power that has kept us for so many years. And I pray, Lord, that thou wast continue to guide and direct us. I pray, Lord, that thou wast give us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used for thy glory. I pray that the expenditure of every dollar and every cent would be according to thy perfect will. I pray, Lord, that thou wast continue to lead and guide and direct this ministry and give us the ability we need to serve thee faithfully. And I pray, O God, that thou wast bless the givers here tonight. And also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we are going to sing one more song before we get started in the Word. But perhaps before we do that, we should pray for Tim's brother, Danny. I know he's not doing well, and that's why Mom's not here tonight. So we'll just pray for him. I know he was raised Catholic, and that religion does seem to have a hold on him. And you know, they don't know how much longer he's going to be alive because his health is not good right now. So we're going to pray for him right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee this night on behalf of Danny, praying, Lord, that thou hast reached down from heaven. I pray, Lord, that he would feel thy presence now, even now. I pray that he would reach out to thee, seek thee with a whole heart, while there is still time. I pray, Lord, that thou wast talk to his soul. I pray, Lord, that thou wast lead him down the path of righteousness. For we know, O God, that as long as we breathe, that as long as our heart is beating, it is never too late to call on thy name. And I pray, Lord, that thou hast reached down from heaven and do a work in Danny's heart. And I pray, Lord, for his health. I pray, Lord, that if it be thy will, that thou wast heal him. We know, O God, that man says he will not live. We know, O God, that man says he doesn't have a chance. But we know, O God, that in thee we always have a chance. For there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou art a mighty, wonder-working God. And we know that thou art a doer of the impossible, and that nothing is too hard for thee, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that if it be thy will, that Danny would be healed according to thy perfect will and according to thy power. And we pray this all in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing one more song. And, you know, we do need Jesus. We need him every minute of every day, really. Every hour, every second, every minute. We need Jesus. So why don't we sing number 84, I Need Jesus. Number 84. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus every day. I need him in the sunshine hour. I need him when the storm clouds lower. Every day along life's way, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus every day. I need Him in the sunshine hour. I need Him when the storm clouds lower. Every day along life's way, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus every day. I need Him in the sunshine hour. I need Him when the storm clouds lower. Every day along life's way, I need Jesus. Praise the Lord. And we do need Him. I know I need Him here tonight. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to go ahead and get started in the Word now. And this message, as you may have guessed, came together rather quickly. I didn't know up until a Monday night, I believe it was, that I would be speaking tonight. But I heard from Mom and she said she would be leaving, so I thought, well, I guess I better try to get ready for this as best I can. It's been interesting because I've also been trying to get the newsletter ready to go, and there's still a lot of work to do in that regard too, but I'm trusting in the Lord. He hasn't failed me yet, and I know He never will. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes we face challenges and we wonder, can I really do this? And we can, because the Lord will help us if we truly put our faith and trust in Him and if we truly believe that He will help us. You know, people say, oh, I believe God's going to help me, but maybe there is some doubt in their hearts sometimes and they don't get that help that they say they're seeking. We need to really, truly, honestly believe in our hearts. Praise the Lord. But that's actually not what I'm going to be speaking about tonight. Rather, we are going to have a look at the very outset when Jesus began to call His disciples and His apostles and the followers of Jesus Christ. We're going to take a look at that, so I'm calling this message tonight, The Followers of Jesus Christ. And we will be starting in John chapter 1 to begin with. But before I read even one verse this evening, I should say, not used to preaching at night, I'm going to go ahead and pray. So I'm going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast brought us here. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast given us Thy Word. We thank Thee, O God, for the many blessings we find in Thy Word. And we ask, O God, for Thy inspiration as we look upon Thy Scriptures. Stir our souls, do a work in our hearts. Let Thy Holy Ghost move upon us. Let these words come alive in our hearts. We ask, O God, that Thou wast excite us as we look upon Thy Word. Help us to see Thy Scriptures in a new way, Lord. Give us greater understanding each and every day, O God, as we look upon Thy Scriptures, and give us greater understanding here tonight. I pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst fill us with Thy wisdom and Thy knowledge and Thy Spirit. And I ask, O God, that everything we do here would be done according to Thy perfect will. I pray that there would be no hindrances here tonight, but I ask that Thy Spirit would have free course and give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Now, to begin with, we're going to be starting in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and in the book of John chapter 1, it's going to tell us, and this is very exciting. You know, when I read these scriptures, I get excited sometimes. And this was in a very exciting time as God was gathering together His disciples, His followers, His apostles. And of course, we know that the word disciple refers to one who is under discipline, under the discipline of the Lord Jesus, one who follows the Lord Jesus. And an apostle is one who is sent forth, one who is on a special mission. And there are still disciples and apostles today. But this is very exciting because in this chapter we see how this all began so long ago, about 2,000 years ago, when Jesus began his ministry and called his disciples. But we know that before Jesus started his ministry, there was another man who had a very important ministry, John the Baptist. And his job, his mission, was to make the path straight so that people could hear the word of the Lord Jesus, so they could seek him and follow him. John the Baptist paved the way for Jesus Christ. That was his mission. And we're going to read about that in John chapter 1, starting in verse 19 here tonight. John chapter 1 verse 19 tells us, "And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?'" Now, John, he was making news. And it's amazing how efficiently news could spread back then, all the way back then, without the aid of television, radio, newspapers, the internet. They didn't have any of that, and yet word would spread far and wide, and people had heard of John the Baptist, this unusual man, this unusual character who liked to eat locusts and wild honey and a leather girdle. He must have seemed like a very strange fellow, but he was filled with the Spirit of God. And he went about preaching, and they were wondering, now who is this? Is this that Messiah that was prophesied of so many years ago? And I find it kind of interesting that they wondered if John the Baptist was the Christ, the Messiah, and yet there weren't very many people really who wondered the same thing about Jesus. It just goes to show man's propensity to get it wrong. So here they are wondering, is this the Christ? And verse 28 tells us, "And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Art thou Elias?' And he saith, 'I am not. Art thou that prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' Then said they unto him, 'Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou thyself?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord. As said the prophet Isaiah, And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet?'" So they're trying to figure out, well, who is this guy? And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, just as Isaiah had prophesied, Make straight the way of the Lord." So they're wondering, well, he's not Elias or Elijah. He's not the Christ. He's not that prophet. So then they ask, well, why are you baptizing people then? And in verse 26, John answers them. "John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not." Jesus was right there among them. They didn't recognize him. They didn't know him. "He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him." There he was, the Christ, the Messiah, that prophet, the one spoken of, the one they were waiting for, the one they were looking for, and all of a sudden, there he was. "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me." So he told them, "This is the one you were seeking. This is the one you were looking for. This is the Christ, the Lamb of God, the Messiah. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him." Again, we see here the Spirit of God descended like a dove. It doesn't say it was a dove, but it descended like a dove. "And I knew him not, But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. John the Baptist knew who he was and who he is. And verse 35 tells us, again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples. So we're going to see how this all starts to come together. How those very first disciples of the Lord Jesus were called and brought together. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. They were very excited. And John the Baptist said, Well, this is the one you were looking for. Here he is, the Lamb of God. And they immediately wanted to follow Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. They wanted to dwell with Jesus. And that's a wonderful thing. And that should be a desire that we all have too, to dwell with Jesus. To be in his presence. To learn of him. Because he does have so much to teach us. But immediately they followed him, these two disciples. And it doesn't tell us who both of them were, but we're about to learn who one of them was. And verse 40 tells us, One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. They recognized him. They knew that this was the Christ, the Messiah, the one they were looking for. Now, as you may remember, we touched on this last Sunday. This was not the only incident, the only time that Jesus was found of Andrew and Simon Peter. In fact, that we read last week in the book of Mark how there was another time when they were in their boat and Jesus came to them and said, Follow me. Now people might look at this and say, Well, this is two different stories here. Is this a contradiction? It's not a contradiction, actually. It just means that this happened first. And later on, when Jesus went and found Simon Peter and his brother Andrew in their boat, that was not the first time that Jesus had met them. But he did call them at that time and said, Follow me. But we see here, this happened first. But verse 41 tells us, He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. And actually the name Peter comes from the same meaning, Petros, means a little pebble. So he was sometimes called Simon, sometimes called Simon Peter, sometimes called Peter, or sometimes called Cephas. But it was just the same, they were all the same man. Simon Peter, as he was commonly known. Verse 43 tells us, The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So he was, this man Philip was from the same town where Andrew and Peter were from. And of course, Jesus came to him and said, Follow me. And Philip was very excited. He immediately wanted to follow Jesus. But before he did that, he went and found his friend Nathanael. Verse 45 tells us, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. They said they found him, the one who was prophesied of, the one who was spoken of by Moses and the prophets, the Messiah, the Christ. We found him. And that would be very exciting because they were looking, they were waiting. They had read all about him in the Old Testament, and now there he was, the one spoken of in those days of old. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. So actually there we see Philip, he's making a little joke. How can anything good come out of Nazareth, you know? And then Jesus actually, he kind of made a little joke too in response when he saw him. Verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. In other words, he's saying, well, look at that, an honest Israelite. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And this is really beautiful too, because we see here how God, we know that Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, was God manifest in the flesh, but he saw Philip from afar before Philip even saw him. Nathanael. He saw Nathanael from afar. And before Nathanael saw him, he saw Nathanael. He knew Nathanael. And that's a beautiful thing. He knows us. He calls to us, just as he called to his disciples back here. And he calls to us first before we come to him. What does the scriptures tell us? Many are called, few are chosen. But he does call to us first, and then we seek the Lord. We respond to that call. But he knew Nathanael and recognized Nathanael. He saw him under that fig tree before Nathanael ever even knew the Lord Jesus. But verse 49 tells us, Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. He quickly recognized who this was, Jesus, not only the Son of God, but the rightful King of Israel. You know, there weren't a lot of people who had this understanding. It had to be revealed to them from God, but there were a few, as we see here. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Oh, and did they ever. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And they did see many wonderful things, many miracles that Jesus did. And yes, heaven was opened. The Spirit of God was flowing all throughout that land as Jesus went about doing miracles, healing the sick, casting out devils, preaching repentance to the lost. Oh yes, many wonderful things were seen. But we see here in this chapter the call going forward, and not only to Andrew, but to Peter and Philip and Nathanael. And we're going to look at now, there were others who were called. And of course, I mentioned before that there was another time when Jesus met with Peter and his brother Andrew. There was another instance of that. We find that in Matthew chapter 4. It's also in the book of Mark, but we're going to Matthew chapter 4 tonight. We're going to see what happened on this occasion. Matthew chapter 4, for just a few verses, going down to the 17th verse in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus was really just beginning his ministry at this point in time, and he was going out and he was preaching repentance. Repentance. He went forward and he told people to repent. Oh yes, we know that Jesus was a friend of sinners, but he didn't tell them, oh, it's okay to be a sinner, just stay in your sins, remain as you are. No, he preached repentance. And that's something a lot of people today don't seem to understand, because they have this idea that Jesus Christ is just a lovable teddy bear. But no, he went forward preaching repentance. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, it tells us, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" He went out there and he told everyone they needed to repent. But now we see he's going to call four fishermen. Now remember, at this point, Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, they had already met Jesus at least one other time. But this is where he was going to really call them and have them give up everything, really, everything that they had. Verse 18, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" Now, we know that at this point in time, those nets that they had, that equipment they had for fishing, was very valuable. It was very expensive. But they wanted to follow Jesus so desperately that they just forsook all of that. They threw down their nets. Verse 20 tells us, "And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." Well, praise the Lord. James and his brother John, the sons of Zebedee, and Jesus actually gave them a new surname. And we read about that in Mark chapter 3. And that surname that he gave James and John was Boanerges. I'm probably not pronouncing that quite right. It's a sort of a hard one. But what it meant was the sons of thunder. And, you know, James and John, they would go forward and they would make a huge difference for the kingdom of God. We know that John would go on to write the Gospel of John, but he would also write 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Revelation, all very important books. So they were known as the sons of thunder. But we see here, Jesus called these four fishermen, and that was a wonderful thing. They got up and they followed Jesus. They forsook their nets. They forsook their ships. Now people might see that and think, "Oh, that's crazy to do something like that." Well, there is another man who followed the Lord. We're going to read about that in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to start in verse 1. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1 tells us, "And he entered into a ship, and passed over, and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, 'Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee.'" Now they brought this sick man. He was sick of the palsy, and they thought, well, he will be healed. So when Jesus opened his mouth and said, "Be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee," they weren't expecting that. But that's a wonderful thing. God could see his heart. He knew that this man had truly repented, and his sins were therefore forgiven. Praise the Lord. When we truly repent, our sins are forgiven. And verse 3 tells us, "And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, 'This man blasphemeth.' And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, 'Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whither is it easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk?'" So he's asking them, well, which is easier? Is it easier to say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," or "Rise up and walk"? Well, we know that it's easier to just say the words, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And that's the point he was making, the point he was demonstrating here. "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, 'Arise, take up thy bed, and go in unto thine house.' And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men." So praise the Lord, that's a wonderful miracle. This man, not only was he healed, but his sins were forgiven. And that's even more important, isn't it? That his sins were forgiven. There's nothing more valuable. There's nothing that you're going to be happier about when you stand before the Lord Jesus and you know that your sins are forgiven, that you've been washed and made whiter than snow. Oh, we are going to be so thankful when Jesus says those words to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy Lord." Oh yes, we will be happy. But we're going to see here the call of another disciple, a man named Matthew. In verse 9 it tells us, "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom." He was a tax collector. And tax collectors were hated, despised by the Israelites. They were the Israelites considered men like these to be thieves. And Matthew was also known as Levi, but he was hated because of his occupation here. But we're going to see something miraculous. "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him." He left his money at that table and just got up and followed Jesus. He knew that this was the Christ, the Messiah, and he was willing to give up everything to follow him. All of that money, all of that custom, all of that tribute that had been paid, those taxes that had been collected, he left it all there. He forsook it all, and he followed Jesus. And that's a wonderful thing. And the fact that this man followed Jesus led to something wonderful. It led to the book that we're reading right now, the Gospel of Matthew. If this hadn't happened, we wouldn't be reading these scriptures today. But this was all part of God's plan. And obviously, someone who would sit at the receipt of custom, a tax collector, a publican, such as Matthew, he would be a very knowledgeable and intelligent man, a highly educated man. And as such, he was able to write this gospel book. And that's a wonderful thing. I'm so thankful we have this. So he left everything. He gave it all up to follow Jesus. "And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples." And those were most likely friends of Matthew. "And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." That's what Jesus came to do. He called sinners to repentance. And we know, of course, that later on he took our sins upon himself and died on that cross for our sakes. But we see here the call going forward. And these men, they gave up everything to follow Jesus. Peter and Andrew, James and John, Philip, Nathanael, which is also known as Bartholomew in some of the Gospels. One thing you'll notice about these disciples, it seems like they hardly ever had just one name. There was usually more than one name that they were known by, as with many other biblical characters that we read about. But they gave up everything. Philip and Nathanael and Matthew or Levi, they gave up everything to follow the Lord Jesus. And that's a wonderful thing. And because they did that, and of course there were others, there were 12 disciples, because they did that, God gave them great power, great authority. And we're going to read about that in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, beginning with the first verse, it tells us, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." And something people don't realize a lot of times that today we still have that same authority. If we belong to the Lord Jesus, if we are His disciples under His discipline, then we too have this same power and this same authority. But He gathered together His 12. And there weren't just 12 disciples or 12 apostles. In fact, later on, in the book of Luke, it tells us He sent forth 70 apostles out to preach the word of God and to heal the sick and cast out devils. So there were many more, and there were more than even the 70. This was just the beginning of it all. But verse 2 tells us, now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Now these were the 12 disciples. And as I mentioned, a lot of times they had more than one name. Of course, as I mentioned earlier, Simon Peter was also known as Cephas. And oddly enough, Andrew, it just seems, was known as Andrew. But James was, he had that special surname that Jesus had given him, Boerges, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's a tough one, but it meant son of thunder, and he gave the same last name to his brother John. And of course, there was Philip, and there was Bartholomew, who was also known as Nathaniel, Thomas, who was also known as Didymus. And Didymus, as it turns out, means twin, so he probably had a twin brother somewhere, or possibly a sister, but he was known as Didymus, which means twin. Matthew, of course, was also known as Levi. And Thaddeus, the reason I believe he was commonly referred to as Thaddeus or Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, because another of his names was also Judas. And at the point that these Gospels were written, the events had already happened, the betrayal had already happened, and the name Judas had kind of taken on a negative connotation. It's sort of like how you don't really see a lot of people these days named Hitler. It's generally not a common name. So Judas, of course, wasn't a real popular name at that point either, because Judas Iscariot had betrayed Jesus. So this man was commonly known as Thaddeus or Lebbaeus, but his name was also Judas. And in John, it referred to him as Judas, not Iscariot. And Simon the Canaanite was also known as Simon the Zealot. And there we have Judas Iscariot, with the name Iscariot meaning man of the city. And we know that he went on to betray the Lord Jesus. But we see here, Jesus gave these men great authority, great power. The authority and the power to cast out devils, to heal the sick, in Jesus' name. And you just have to wonder about Judas. How could he be so far gone that he'd be willing to give all that up? But he did it. And of course, we know that he wanted those pieces of silver. And he was angry at that anointing of Jesus when he was anointed with that costly ointment. And he wanted the money for it. And that was really the last incident before he went out to betray Jesus. He was so angry about that because he loved money. What did the scripture tell us? The love of money is the root of all evil. And that was certainly the case with Judas Iscariot, because he loved that money. And he was mad, so mad, that he went out and betrayed Jesus. But at this point, Jesus is sending them forth and giving them great authority and great power. Verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. It wasn't time yet for the message to be preached to the Gentiles. That would happen later. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. He told them, go out there to the lost sheep of Israel. And these were supposed to be God's chosen people, God's special people, but so many of them didn't recognize Jesus for who he is. So he sent them to the lost sheep. He sent his disciples, go to the lost sheep, preach to the lost sheep of Israel first. And of course we know that Jesus is our good shepherd, and we were once lost sheep too. We went to that shepherd, and we were no longer lost. Praise the Lord. But he told them, go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. So he's telling them, go out there and preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. But don't take anything with you. Don't take any money. Don't take a change of clothes. Don't take any food. Just walk by faith and I'll take care of you. You will be taken care of. And that's what they did. They didn't take anything. It was a walk of faith. They were just walking by faith. Can you imagine being sent out to preach the word of God and you don't have any money? Can you imagine even going on a road trip across the country today without any money? No extra clothes? No extra shoes? No weapons? And back then, it was very necessary and needful to have weapons most of the time. But he told them, don't take anything. Just walk by faith. And they were taken care of. And this was a great witness. Verse 11, And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. And of course, there's a lesson to learn from this too. Sometimes we need to learn when it's not profitable to witness to people. You might try and they're not listening, they're not heeding. And no matter what you say, it doesn't seem like you're breaking through. And we know that God has to speak to the hearts. God has to soften the hearts. Sometimes we just have to move on and shake the dust off our feet. But verse 15 tells us, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now, Jesus is going to warn them as his disciples. Yes, they had great authority, great power. They could heal the sick. They could cast out devils. They could even raise the dead in the name of the Lord Jesus. But there was going to be trouble. There was going to be persecution. There was going to be hard times. They would have to endure a lot. Verse 16 tells us, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And praise the Lord, God can instill in us great wisdom. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Oh yes, these men were called to do great and wonderful things. They were going to stand before governors. They were going to preach before governors and kings. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And this is very sad, but that did happen sometimes, and it could happen again, where it's members of your own household who betray you, your own family sometimes. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Oh yes, we are going to have to endure. It's not always going to be easy. We're not always going to be well liked. In fact, Jesus said, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you." So we see here, yes, we are going to be hated for the cause of Christ, for His name's sake, but that's okay. We just need to endure. If we endure, in the end, we will be saved. "But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and that the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household?" Remember what they said about Jesus when he cast out devils? They said, "Well, you're doing it through the power of Beelzebub, the prince of devils." But that wasn't the case. Of course, Jesus, what he's saying here is, if they would accuse me of such, of course they're going to accuse you of such. "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known." Oh yes, there are a lot of secrets out there, a lot of hidden things, but everything, every evil deed will be revealed in the end. At some point, every evil deed will be brought to light. So we don't have to worry. We don't have to be afraid. It says, "Fear them not." In other words, we don't have to be afraid of secret societies, secret groups, the elite class, the things they try to do, their secret plans, their secret agenda, their goals to control the entire world. We don't have to be afraid of them. We have something far greater than what they have. We have the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. We have great authority through Jesus. We don't have to be afraid of them. Verse 27, "What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the roof, the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And we have the promise of eternal life as long as we obey our Lord Jesus. And when we really lay these words to heart and understand them, we realize, really, there's nothing to be afraid of. Absolutely nothing. You don't even have to be afraid of death, because they can only kill the body. They can't kill the soul. "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." Oh, the interest that God takes in our lives, a personal interest. It's so amazing that He would do so, because He is so, so much higher and better and so further above us, and yet He still takes a personal interest in our lives, to the point that the very hairs of our head are numbered. He knows how many hairs we have. "Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Oh, we need to make sure we never deny the Lord. We don't want to stand before the Lord and explain why we denied Him. But no, we have a mission. A mission to be shining lights in a dark world. A world that oftentimes seems hopeless. A world whose only hope is the Lord Jesus. That is why we must reflect the light of the Lord Jesus and not hide that light. Verse 34, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against his mother, and the daughter-in-law against his mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." And, you know, a lot of times families will be divided, and that's a very hard thing to deal with. But it shouldn't be a surprise that Jesus warned that such would be the case. So if you have family that also serves the Lord, it's a great blessing. A great blessing. But we should be willing to give up everything for the cause of Christ, even if it means separation from our families at times. If they just can't be near you because they hate God so much, well then choose God. Sometimes we even have to choose God over family members, and it's a very sorrowful thing, but it does happen sometimes. Verse 38 tells us, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." We see in these scriptures we've just read, God gave his people great power, great authority. It's not always going to be easy. We are going to face challenges sometimes. But we do have great power in the Lord. And it's amazing to look at how these disciples were called together, to see them responding to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that good news, and following him, forsaking everything, giving up their fishing nets, giving up their tax collection, whatever the case may be, willing to forsake everything for the cause of Christ and follow him. And it's amazing, you know. You look at these verses. And we looked at the beginning when he called those men and they responded. And they went out and they told others. And those others told others. And those others told others. And that has been going on for over 2,000 years today. It's amazing when you stop and think about that. How that gospel message is still going forward even today. And you know, we don't see as many people respond to it as we used to, and that's going to grow fewer and fewer as we progress further in time. But praise the Lord, we know that there are still others out there who will repent, still others out there who will seek the Lord. We know that because Jesus hasn't returned yet. The harvest is not complete yet. But in the meantime, we do have great authority and great power. For that power that he gave his disciples has been handed down for generations. And these people we read about back here in these scriptures, all of these disciples, Peter and Andrew, James and John, Philip, Nathaniel, all of these men, they are our brothers in the Lord. They're our family members. And it will be very exciting to meet them face to face also in person when we're in glory with the Lord Jesus. I'm sure they all have great stories to tell. But we do have great power and great authority in the name of the Lord. He's called us. The call went forward. And if we just follow him, if we just follow him, if we remain followers of the Lord Jesus and we endure to the end, then we shall be saved. Just as these back here followed the Lord Jesus, we too must follow the Lord Jesus each and every day. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy scriptures. We thank thee for thy holy word. We thank thee for thy promises. And I pray, Lord, that we would not forget thy scriptures, that we would not forget thy word. But I pray, Lord, that we would think of thee each and every day and never cease to follow thee, but follow thee wherever thou wouldest lead us. I pray, Lord, that we would always do thy will. I pray, Lord, that thou wouldst reveal thy will to us so that we may know what we must do. I ask, O God, that thou wouldst continue to abide with us as we abide with thee. And I pray, Lord, that we would all be filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with thy Spirit. I ask this and pray this all in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're going to close with a chorus. It just seems appropriate to sing number 78 tonight, "Keep on Walking by Faith." Number 78 in the chorus book. Keep on walking by faith, just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me, he's walking right beside me. keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise the Lord, and you're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.